We will recite evoking the names of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of deep listening and compassionate listening. The brothers will chant first Namo, and followed by the sister A, and back to the brother Namo, and back to the sister Namo, and both brother and sister chant together Namo, and the sister will end with A.
Sangha is invited to go back to our breathing, so that our collective energy of mindfulness will bring us together as an organism, going as a river with no more separation. Let the whole Sangha breathe as one body, chant as one body, listen as one body, and transcend the frontiers of a delusive self, liberating from the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality complex.
Body, speech, and mind, in perfect oneness, ascend my heart along with the sound of the bell. May the hearers awaken from forgetfulness and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow.
Ba nghiệp lặng thanh tịnh gợi lòng theo tiếng chuông. Nguyện người nghe tình thoát nẻo đau buồn.
Listen, listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true self.
Lắng lòng nghe
listening to the sound of the bell, I feel the afflictions in me begin to dissolve. My mind becomes calm, my body relaxed. A smile is born on my lips. Following the sound of the bell, my breath guides me back to the safe island of mindfulness. In the garden of my heart, the flower of peace blooms beautifully.
Nghe chuông phiền não tan mây khói, ý lặng thân an miệng mỉm cười. Hơi thở nương chuông về chắn vườn tâm hoa tuệ nở xinh tươi.
The universal Dharma door is already open. The sound of the rising tide is clear, and the miracle happens. A beautiful child appears in the heart of a lotus flower. One single drop of compassionate water is enough to bring back the refreshing spring to mountains and to rivers. Namo Avalokitesvara.
Phổ môn vọng tiếng triệu dân bé thơ xuất hiện giữa lòng đóa sen. Cam lộ một giọt rưới lên xuân về trên khắp mọi miền núi sông. Nam mô Bồ Tát Quan Thế Âm. Nam mô Bồ Tát Quan Thế Âm. Nam mô Bồ Tát Quan Thế
Namo Buddhaya. Good afternoon, dear Sangha. It's wonderful to be together as a Sangha, sitting and breathing. Today is the 24th of December in the year 2009, and we are in Plum Village, Lower Hamlet, during our winter retreat. And the theme of this retreat is the art of happiness. I will talk to you later about the birth of a mantra. We have a new mantra, the fifth one. This moment is a moment of happiness. The little prince, Le Petit Prince, has a very small planet. On his planet, he has a rose bush with a beautiful rose. And because his planet is small, he enjoys a lot contemplating the sunset. A sunset happens every 3 hours or so. He enjoys the sunrise. He enjoys the sunset. He wanted to have an animal, a very peaceful animal, to live with him on the planet. He wants a sheep, because he thinks that that animal is very peaceful, soft. Therefore, the first time he found himself on Earth, on our Earth, and met with a human being, he asked that person to draw him a sheep. Dessine-moi un mouton. That is what he wanted. A sheep in order to live with him on his beautiful small planet. Dessine-moi un mouton. He knows perfectly the teaching of the Buddha about the mind. In the Avatamsaka Sutra, the Buddha said the mind is a painter. The mind can paint everything. The cosmos, the three worlds, everything is painted by the mind. So he asked this gentleman he met for the first time, the first human being he met on this planet Earth, and asked him to draw him a ship, Dessine-moi un mouton. And that person, I think his name is Antoine Saint-Exupéry, tried to draw him a ship. And finally, after a few times failing, he succeeded in drawing a ship. And the little prince is very satisfied. And he imagined himself back on that planet, living with the small rose and the sheep. And he asked whether it should be a lot of grass for the sheep to eat, because his planet is so small. We hope that he is happy with his sheep now and his rose bush. On our planet, we have many animals and many species have been disappearing. We don't know whether we can draw them again and bring them back into existence. We have destroyed a lot of our planet and many species have disappeared. And what we need the most is peace. We need peace. We need the Prince of Peace. There's so much violence, so much conflict, so much destruction within us and around us in the world. We desperately need peace. And we should ask someone to draw us peace. Monsieur, dessine-moi la paix. Who is going to draw peace for us, to bring peace into our life, into our heart, and into our environment? Who is the one that can make peace? Who is the peacemaker? If you have studied Mahayana Buddhism, you already know that person, the one that is going to bring peace to you, to the world, is yourself. You are that one. You have the capacity to become a Buddha, full of peace, understanding, and compassion. There is a baby Buddha in you. You have to allow the Prince of Peace to be born in your heart. And this is possible. The Buddha is an excellent Sangha builder. He wanted many friends to help him bring peace to the world. And building Sangha, Sangha building is one of the most wonderful way to build peace. With the Sangha, peace building become much more easier. A Sangha is a community, a group of people who are motivated by the desire to build peace inside and outside. And everything they do in their daily life is just to generate the energy of peace for themselves and for the people around. They know how to generate the energy of mindfulness by the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, mindful cooking, mindful gardening, and so on. Because they know that every time they practice mindfulness of walking and breathing, they bring their mind back to their body. They become fully present. They know what is going on in the present moment. If there is something that is nourishing, healing, they would be able to allow themselves to be healed and nourished by that something. If there is a feeling of sadness, a feeling of pain, they would know how to allow that feeling to be embraced by mindfulness so that they can obtain a relief. And restore well-being and peace in their body, in their feelings, in their emotions. They know how to generate the energy of mindfulness, to recognize and embrace everything that is happening in the present moment for the sake of their nourishment, healing, and transformation. They know how to generate the energy of concentration in order to be really there, in order to experience deeply every moment of their daily life, in order to get in touch deeply with what is wonderful, what is nourishing and healing. They know that if they are concentrated enough, the wonders of life will become available to them. The Pure Land of the Buddha will become available. The Kingdom of God will become available to them right away in the here and the now. And they know that they are capable of generating the energy of mindfulness and concentration, the energies that make a person holy. They know how to generate the energy of insight with understanding, with insight. They are no longer afraid of anything. With insight, with great understanding, they know how to get out of a difficult situation and to help another person getting out of his or her difficult situation. And they know very well insight is possible when one practices mindfulness and concentration. Mindfulness always brings insight. And insight brings always liberation and happiness. Suppose you practice mindful breathing in and you bring your mind back to your body, and when your mind is back to your body, you realize that you are alive. You are still alive on this planet. That is already an insight. That is already an awakening. Because there are so many of us who are there, but they don't know that they are there, they are alive. And to be alive, to be walking on this planet, to be sitting on this planet, is a miracle. And when you touch that miracle, understanding, awakening is already there. And that understanding, that awakening can bring you a smile, that can bring you happiness. Because you are able to touch the miracle of being alive. Insight, enlightenment, awakening is not something far away. You can get it right away in the here and the now with the energy of mindfulness. Wherever there is mindfulness, there is concentration and insight. And that is why, while cooking, while washing, while cleaning, while watering the vegetable garden, we can cultivate our insight to heal ourselves, to bring moments of happiness into our daily life. When you walk, and if you are mindful of every step, you know that to be alive and to be walking on this planet is wonderful. And every step can bring you joy, happiness, and every step can be a celebration of life. Walking in the upper hamlet, or in the lower hamlet, or the new hamlet, or in Shanha, you enjoy the kingdom of God right there. You enjoy the pure land of the Buddha right there. Every in-breath, every out-breath is an opportunity to get enlightened. Every step is an opportunity to get enlightened. Enlightenment can be a business of every moment. We know that mindfulness and concentration always carry within themselves the element of insight. Smriti, Samadhi, and Prajna, they go together. And that is the heart of Buddhist practice. Every one of us has the capacity of drinking our tea in mindfulness. We can drink like a Buddha at any moment. Any of us is capable of brushing our teeth in mindfulness. We can enjoy the few minutes of toothbrushing. We brush our teeth with like a Buddha. In the time of Buddha, they did not have toothbrush, the kind of use. They use a kind of tree branch. Nimba tree. The Nimba tree. The Buddha and his disciples, they use a branch of Nimba tree in order to clean their teeth. And of course, they were practitioners. They should have happiness during the time they clean, they brush their teeth. So for us practitioners, every moment is an opportunity for us to nourish our mindfulness, to nourish our concentration, to bring insight for our nourishment, healing, and liberation, because our insight has the power to liberate us from afflictions like fear, despair, and so on. We have the power to draw, to invent, to make peace. When we go home to our body and realize that there is tension, pain in our body, we want to practice releasing the tension, releasing the pain in our body with the techniques of mindful breathing, total deep relaxation. The Sutra of Mindful Breathing, the Buddha told us how to help the body to release tensions and pain by breathing, by relaxing the body. Breathing in, I'm aware of the body, of my whole body. Breathing out, I know there is a tension, some pain in my body. Breathing in, I allow the tension in my body to be released. And while breathing in and breathing out, you bring peace into your body. Every time we breathe in and recognize a painful feeling, a painful emotion that is in us, we can use the energy of mindfulness and concentration in order to recognize and embrace that painful feeling, that painful emotion. My pain, my sorrow, I know you are there. I'm going to take good care of you. You don't try to push it out. You don't try to suppress it and to cover it up. You smile to it. You use the energy of mindful breathing in order to recognize it, and you embrace it tenderly, like a mother would embrace her baby when the baby suffers. And with mindful breathing, mindful walking, you embrace your pain, your sorrow, and you get the relief. You bring peace into your feelings and your emotions. That is also the practice prescribed by the Buddha in the Sutra on Mindful Breathing. We learn how to handle our body, our feelings, our emotions, in order to calm down our body, calm down our feelings, so that peace becomes possible. And when we suffer because of a wrong perception, anger, fear, distress, jealousy are born from our wrong perceptions. And when we embrace our fear, our anger, our despair deeply, we will touch and recognize the wrong perception that is underneath. And if we know how to release that wrong perception, our anger, our fear will go away. And that is why meditation is also to handle our perceptions. Because of wrong perceptions, wrong views, we suffer, and we make the people around us suffer. And the Sutra of Mindful Breathing help us to handle our body, to handle our feelings, and to handle our perceptions. When we come together as a community, every one of us practice according to this teaching. And when we sit together, practicing calming our body, our mind, our feeling, we create a collective energy of peace. 300 people, 500 people sit together, breathing mindfully, peacefully. They generate the collective energy of peace and brotherhood. And if you happen to sit in that group, you get the energy. That energy will penetrate into our body and help release the tension. That energy will penetrate into our heart and release the pain, the sorrow. When you practice chanting, you allow mindfulness to touch the seat of compassion in us. Avalokiteshvara is the bodhisattva of deep listening, bodhisattva of great compassion. And we know that each one of us has a seat of compassion in us. We are capable of being compassionate, yes. And while chanting or listening to the chanting, we allow the seed of compassion to be recognized and to be watered so that the energy of compassion can manifest. And when everyone is doing the same thing, the collective energy of compassion will be created. And if we happen to be in a place, we'll be nourished by that energy of compassion generated by the Sangha. And that is why we feel so wonderful while we chant with other people, other practitioners. That is why we feel wonderful when we listen to the chanting. Because listen to the chanting like that, we listen with mindfulness. We are truly present in the here and the now, and we allow our body to be penetrated by the collective energy of mindfulness and compassion. It's very healing sitting in a congregation, in a community like that. And that is our daily food. Every day you sit with the Sangha several times. You walk with the Sangha several times. You have a meal with the Sangha. You work with the Sangha in the garden, in the kitchen, in the Dhamma hall. And by doing things mindfully, you generate the energy of mindfulness, concentration and insight. And you get the nourishment. You continue to get the nourishment. And everyone can be a peacemaker. Dessine-moi la paix. Dessine-moi le bonheur. Draw me happiness. Draw me peace. This is the practice. With our mind, we can do everything. With our mind, we can create hell for ourselves and for the world. With our mind, we can create peace and happiness. We know the first mantra. Darling, I'm here for you. You can practice that mantra in French, in English, in German, in Vietnamese. It's so easy. Darling, I'm here for you. When you love someone, the most precious thing you can offer him or her is your presence. And that's something you buy in the market. The most precious thing you can offer is your presence. How can we love unless you are there? You have to be there in order to love. And to be there means to offer your presence, your refreshing, loving, compassionate presence. And you know how to make yourself fresh, to make yourself loving and compassionate. You get the nourishment, you practice mindfulness, you get the nourishment of peace, of relaxation. You restore the freshness, the flowerness in you. And your presence is a gift for him or for her. You need only to breathe in and out a few times mindfully and restore your freshness, restore your smile. And you go to him or to her and you pronounce the first mantra. Darling, you know, I'm here for you. And that is the most precious gift you can make for the one you love. And you can practice that mantra with your cell phone also. He is in his office. She is in her workplace. But you think of him, you think of her, and you want to practice the first mantra. You pick up the phone, you breathe in and out, you think of him. You smile. You send him the energy of love, compassion, brotherhood. And you compose a number. And when you hear the sound on the telephone, you smile mindfully. You know that that person is listening to the sound of the telephone. And if you are familiar to telephone meditation, you know that both of you are breathing in and out mindfully when the telephone bell rings. Try telephone meditation if you have not practiced it. It's wonderful. Before you telephone someone, hold the phone and breathe and think of that person. Smile to him or her. And you vow that you will say very sweet, lovely things to him or to her. And there is a poem that you can recite, a verse that you can recite while practicing breathing in and out. The classical one is words can travel many miles, and they can help build up love, understanding. I vow that what I'm going to tell him or her will be beautiful like embroideries, like flowers. And you breathe in and out while you hold the phone. You are a practitioner. And Making a phone call is part of your practice. Hold the phone, breathe and smile, and recite the verse. And when the telephone rings, you know that she is breathing also, because she knows telephone meditation. If you are a practitioner of telephone meditation, you don't pick up the phone right away. You don't push the button right away. You allow it to ring one time and two times. And while listening to the telephone sound, you enjoy breathing in and breathing out to calm yourself. If you are not a practitioner, you are going to answer right away, because you are eager to know who is calling, good news or bad news. But if you are a practitioner, you don't need to hurry like that. You allow the phone to ring one time. You enjoy listening to the telephone bell like you enjoy listening to the bell. Listen, I listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. I don't need to worry. I am capable of dealing with any situation. So you get calm during the first ring, and you can allow the second ring to take place, and you calm yourself. If it is a very urgent, important matter, the other person will continue to wait. And when the other person push the button, take up the phone, you know that both of you are smiling, are breathing mindfully, and the conversation must be good. If both of you are calm, both of you know how to breathe in and out, and become aware that loving speech is what you need to practice. If everyone in Paris, living in Paris, practice telephone meditation, Paris will have peace. The quality of happiness will be increased. If in New York, the 10 million people living there know how to practice telephone meditation, there will be a lot of peace and happiness in New York City. So you can use your telephone, your portable, to practice the first mantra. Darling, I know you are there. That's the second mantra. The first is, darling, I am here for you. I know that the greatest gift I can make to you is my presence. I'm here for you. And you know that you have to be true. You have to be truly there for him or for her. It means your mind should be with your body, and you must be fully grounded in the here and the now in order to practice that mantra. Otherwise, the mantra is fake. You have to be really there, body and mind united, well established in the here and the now, in order for a mantra to be a mantra. And that mantra can bring happiness to you and to the other person right away. And you don't have to practice it in Sanskrit or Tibetan. Darling, I'm really here for you. I affirm my presence. The second mantra is, darling, I know you are there, and I am so happy. The first mantra has the purpose of making you truly present in the here and the now. The second mantra is to recognize the presence of the other person. When you are truly there, you acknowledge, you can acknowledge the presence of the other person. And to love someone means to recognize him or her as existing. Darling, I know you are there. I'm so happy. And with your presence, true presence, you acknowledge the presence of the other person. So, if you don't succeed in the first mantra, you cannot succeed in the second mantra. Because once you are truly established in the here and the now, truly present, that you can recognize the presence of someone else. And the energy of mindfulness help you to be there, to be fully present, to be fully alive, so that you can acknowledge the presence of your beloved one. And the energy of mindfulness and concentration and insight is the kind of energy that you use in order to recognize his or her presence. You embrace him or her with the energy of mindfulness, concentration, and insight that you have that are generated by your practice. To know that your beloved one is alive, there is also an insight. The opposite of it is forgetfulness. You don't cherish, you don't treasure his or her presence. And when you practice like that, you are full of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And you are happy. And the other person being embraced by this source of energy will bloom like a flower. She knows that she is loved. She is recognized as existing. And of course, you can send an email. Why not? Technology can help you to practice mantras. Send him the mantra in the form of an email. Darling, I know you are there. I'm so happy. The third mantra, you need to practice when you know that the one you love is having some difficulty. Because you are mindful, you know what is going on, not only with you, but with the other person. You care for him, you care for her, that is why you notice that something does not go right. And that is why you did the third mantra, darling. I know you suffer. That is why I'm here for you. And again, you can practice this mantra with your telephone, with your computer. The distance is not important, provided that you are truly there, that you are in a situation, in a position to recognize her pain, her sorrow. Before you can do anything that to help him or her suffer less, that person has already got a relief because that person knows that you are there for him, for her, that you are aware of the difficulties he is going through. And that is the practice of mindfulness, concentration and insight, the practice of love. The fourth mantra is a little bit more difficult to practice. But you need to know. That is when you suffer. And you believe that your suffering has been caused by him, by her. The one who you love and trust the most. This is a difficult situation. If it were another person who has said that to you, who has done it to you, you would have suffered less. But none. No, it's not another person. It's him. It's her. It's the person you trust the most, you love the most, that has said that to you, that has done it to you. That is why you suffer so much, very deeply. You get hurt very deeply. And your natural reaction is to withdraw yourself. You want to suffer alone. You want to demonstrate to him or to her that alone you can very well survive. You don't need him, you don't need her. That's the tendency to punish. Because you get hurt so deeply. And you want to punish. You can do everything except one thing. To go to him or to her and ask for help. Because you get hurt so deeply already. But the mantra advises you to do the opposite. You have to go to him. You have to telephone him or her and ask for help. You have to put down your pride. Because in true love there is no place for pride. And the mantra reads like this: Darling, I suffer. Please help. And as soon as you are able to pronounce the mantra, you suffer less right away. It means, Darling, I suffer very much. I want you to know it. I don't know why you have done such a thing to me. You have said such a thing to me. If it were another person, I would not have suffered like that. But in this case, it's you. I'm a practitioner. I'm doing my best. But for the time being, I'm still in a situation to suffer. I do my best to practice, but I need your help. You may like to be alone for some time. Looking deeply at the situation to see whether the suffering has come from a wrong perception on your part or not before you blame the other person, because you are a true practitioner. You want to have some time to look deeply to see, to make sure that it is not your fault. Is not a matter of wrong perception on your part. And if you succeed in finding out, you are not angry at him or her anymore, because you know that it is your wrong perception that has brought you the suffering. But 24 hours are about to pass, and you are still struggling with that suffering. And according to the practice of Plum Village, the tradition of Plum Village, you have to practice the fourth mantra before the deadline of 24 hours. You have to go to him or to her and practice the fourth mantra. Darling, I suffer, I really suffer, and I want you to help. If you cannot say it directly to him or to her, write a message, send an email, and you will suffer less right away. And that is also an invitation for the other person to look deeply, to see what I have done, what I have said, in order to make him, to make her suffer like that. And both of you will be practicing, looking deeply. And this is the practice of peace. The fifth mantra. I want to tell you about the birth of the fifth mantra. The fifth mantra is born in Plum Village. During the winter retreat last year, we meditated together on the subject of global Buddhist vision for global ethic, global spirituality. We look very deeply into the matter of happiness and suffering, and we recognize that suffering and happiness are. After the winter retreat, we had the French speaking retreat with the same theme of meditation. And after the French speaking retreat, we had a 21-day retreat. We follow the practice, we continue the practice. And finally, we were able to bring up a new version of the five mindfulness trainings, representing the Buddhist vision of a global ethic, global spirituality, reflecting the Buddha's teaching, how to bring peace, how to bring love to us and to the world. And many of us have renewed our commitment to the five mindfulness trainings using the new version. Now, if you have not got a copy, please, it is available on the website of Plum Village. And the other day, I was sitting here and addressing the Melbourne Parliament of World Religion, and I spoke about five mindfulness trainings as the Buddhist vision for global spirituality and ethics. The fifth mantra is born during that retreat. It has been offered to many practitioners in Europe and America. When you practice mindful breathing and go back to the present situation, you recognize that you are lucky. You have so many conditions of happiness that are available. If you compare with many others, you are much luckier than many of them. You touch the many conditions of happiness that are already there And you know that you don't need to go and get more conditions of happiness. They are largely enough, more enough to be, for you to be happy right here and right now. And with that kind of insight, you pronounce the mantra, this moment is a moment of happiness. Any moment can become a moment of happiness with the practice of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Because these three kinds of energies put us in touch with the conditions of happiness that are available in the here and the now. And you don't need to run anymore to another place in order to get our happiness. You don't need to run into the future looking for our happiness. The Buddha taught us very clearly that it is possible to be happy in the here and the now. Living happily right in the present moment is his basic teaching. Drishta Dharma Sukha Vihara. And that is why every time we come together for a sitting, before doing the chanting, you can breathe in and out and say, dear Sangha, this is a moment of happiness. Before sharing a meal, you breathe in, you look at the Sangha, Sangha, you feel that you are so lucky. And you say, dear Sangha, this is a moment of happiness. Before chanting, before cooking, before gardening, you can always practice the fifth mantra. In Upper Hamlet, we practice the fifth mantra many times a day. It's so easy to practice. In principle, every one of us can practice the fifth mantra several times a day. If we know how to go home to the present moment, you recognize that you are lucky, luckier than many other people. Conditions of happiness are plenty, so we allow us to be happy. Several monks at the moment the border. You might like to practice it in French, in German, in Chinese. Prince of Peace is born, can be born at every moment. The Prince of Happiness can be born at every moment with the practice of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Christaya. Je vais